there's no place like home for the
goblins lurking in shadows, edge haunting vistas creep through the trees. Yeah, yeah. Jack-o'-lanterns and chilling dread, ghostly figures dance through the breeze. Yeah, yeah. Spirits roll the night, terrors deny. Halloween spectacular fear ignites. With every corner's turn, shadows yearn for screams and chills in the autumn light.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
Oh, God, Cowboy Jeff's here. Jeff, I saw you out in your car. I saw you feeling a bunch of costumes and deciding which one you wanted to put on for today's episode.
Yeah, I almost decided on an English lord costume, Jay. But then I decided I'd be a cowpoke instead.
Well, yippee-ki-yay, varmint. I don't fucking know.
Get off my spread.
Stay away from my women.
Yeah, trying to take my woman off my spread. You ain't taking my Philadelphia cream cheese, Jay.
Jeff is trying on costumes, of course, because we're in the middle of the Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular.
The 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular, Jay?
That's the one.
Oh, good.
And, so instead of talking about Christmas horror movies, we're talking about Halloween movies. And, Jeff, I've had a smile on my face since I finished watching this.
Yeah, I've... As soon as I saw this, I knew this is a Jay Logsdon film,
and I'm ready to carve the pumpkin to talk about 1988's Hollowgate.
Like all great 80s movies, Jay, it was shot on basically the worst possible thing you could shoot a movie on, 16mm, and then edited on videotape to preserve that amazing audio quality.
All right, Jeff, thank God for subtitles. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't hear without my captions.
At the beginning, you would be hard-pressed to understand what is going on.
Released October 20th, 1988. Jeff, there's one thing they did right.
Oh, yeah. Right in that sweet spot.
Written and directed by Ray DiZazzo, and this is his only film credit.
Nice. I mean, if you got to go out on one, you might as well go out on this
one. Yep. Addison Randall plays Mark, our party host villain
of indeterminate age.
Yep. Is a child, but then 10 years pass and he looks like a grown man.
He's supposed to be 10 at the first in the first scene, then 10 years pass
and so it would make him 20.
He'd be 20, and then two more years pass,
so he'd be 22, and then another year passes. Yes. At least another year passes,
so he's at least 23 years old. And yet he looks like he's probably 50.
I was gonna say he looks like 45. We've got Katerina Alexi as Kim, Patricia Jacques as Mandy, Richard Dry as Al/Alan, and JJ Miller as Billy. And it really doesn't matter who else is in this film.
It really doesn't.
These are more or less our main characters. There are a handful of people with more than like 10 credits to their name. In this movie, they're all like the judges and lawyers from that one scene.
Yes, that one awkward scene. Yes.
That makes no sense. I literally went, am I watching the right movie?
Yes. No, that's what I was legitimately going to message you and ask you. I was like, we're talking about Hollowgate, right? So it's like, started off with a party scene I couldn't hear, then smash cut to a scene of a bunch of guys discussing a legal case that may or may not be relevant. After, of course, going to a gas station with a completely unrelated looking man to the first scene. I was like, oh, so he was supposed to be the kid?
Yep. Shot in Thousand Oaks, California, but you could have fooled me because they said it was Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah, Jay. You know, that Oklahoma state sign. After they pass that, everything's down home good. Mm-hmm.
Get some of them submarine sandwiches.
And some Corona beer, Jay.
Nothing says Oklahoma like the New York staple submarine sandwich and Corona beer.
Yeah.
Where to watch? It's streaming on Tubi. You could also buy a Blu-ray copy from TerrorVision if you would be inclined.
Uh-huh. ICJ has already done that.
The beautiful Blu-ray copy that I own.
Yeah, very, you know, Jay, I don't want to say that they ripped off their intro, but, you know, having a traumatized kid and then some credits with a bunch of jack-o'-lanterns, I think I've seen that somewhere before.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Personal experience, I bought the DVD because I went, oh, that sounds like it'd be great for the spooktacular.
Personal experience, Jay told me this is what we were doing, and then I've basically felt like I was high on LSD since last night.
Jeff, I'm the same way. I've just had an irrepressible smile on my face.
You know, I honestly, I watched this because we're doing the 31 Days of Horror challenge. So we had already watched Terminator for day one because Amber had never seen it. And it was one of the first ones I could remember watching as a kid. And then we watched this and we got to the end of it. And Amber looks up from her phone and she's like, well, that's probably the stupidest thing I've ever seen. So I'm sure Jay loved it.
You could tell her she was right. She's like, I had a great time.
No, she compared it because last weekend we'd watch Friendship because you recommended it. And she's like, this gave me the same kind of feeling as I got when we watched Friendship.
Whoa, now. I would not compare Hollowgate to the best movie of 2025.
But yes, but it's a certified by my wife as a Jay Lawson film.
And hey, there you go. Yeah, let's dive in for our synopsis here. We start with our title card over an image of like a creepy doll. The camera then starts to pan across like Halloween decor as we get the credits, like the, you know, the cast and crew and whatnot. We start with kind of like upbeat kind. I would describe it almost as like doll music, like dollhouse music.
Yeah. Something like that, or like, you know, those little music boxes that used to be popular, kind of like that.
Yeah. And then as it continues to pan, like you start getting like some like heavier, darker notes that start playing. And then like by the end, we've panned across all of these Halloween decorations and stopped on a jack-o'-lantern hung with a noose, or skeleton, like an inflatable skeleton hung with a noose.
Yes, Jay.
And the music gets like really like intense. And that's like our opening, and I'm like, oh man, that's a lot of Halloween decorations. I bet that will continue throughout the film.
Oops.
It does not.
And it didn't.
We see a Halloween party with a bunch of kids laughing and having fun. A mom dressed as, I think, like Raggedy Ann.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing.
Comes out and says, who wants to bob for apples? And then she asks where Mark is. And we see a kid in a clown costume pushed out of the room by his drunk, angry dad.
And this was my first thing where I was like, because, you know, generally Halloween parties are something you do as like a teenager into adulthood. This looked like a kid's birthday party with a bunch of 10-year-olds.
Yep. The kids bob for apples, then it's Mark's turn, and he's really bad at it. Clown wig gets drenched. His drunk, angry dad comes out and starts essentially waterboarding him. Why can't you bob for apples right? And he just keeps shoving his head into the water.
Even the girls are better than you. Why do you have to embarrass me so much?
Why do you have to suck so bad at bobbing for apples, you fucking clown?
And then his mom is like, no, don't do it.
Yep, the mom's eventually able to fight the dad off. And it's like, what a shitty way for a party to go.
You know, honestly, I wish I could say it's unrealistic, but no, I've seen a lot of parties break up that way.
Yeah.
The hosts start fighting.
Mark's mom and dad fight, and his mom implies that Mark isn't, that Mark's dad isn't biologically his dad.
You don't even know if it's your son, bitch.
And then this old woman walks up, and I'm like, who the fuck is this? Turns out Mark's grandma's just been there the whole time, listening to this whole conversation.
They're in rich grandma's house. And it's like, I don't even understand. It's like, so is it supposed to be his dad's mom or his mom's mom?
Unclear.
Either way, I cannot believe she didn't intervene in that shoving match at the bobbing for apples station, either admonishing her son or telling her daughter to leave this idiot.
Mark talks about how his dad's a drunk, angry piece of shit. And he says, I want to live with you, Grandma. And she says, you will soon, son. And then Mark like kind of looks at the camera and says, I hate Halloween.
My first sign that this was going to be very funny. And also, how did Grandma know that in a decade's time he would commit a crime?
She orchestrated the whole thing.
That's what I was beginning to think. I'm like, okay, so is he actually fine and Grandma's crazy?
Jeff, that would have made for a better movie. certainly a more interesting movie than the one we got.
That's true.
The camera fades out and fades back in, and it tells us it's 10 years later on Halloween night.
What we love, Jay. Fade in, fade out, time jumps. And don't worry, there's going to be a couple more.
We see a couple having a picnic in a field. They start engaging in rigorous physical activity.
But we're going to be late for the Halloween party, see?
A.K.A. fucking.
Also, random greaser in Oklahoma, Jay.
The girl mentions that they should head to the Halloween party before they start fucking. Apparently, an hour and a half later, they get in the car. We know it's an hour and a half later because the girl says, "We're an hour and a half late to the party."
They probably fell asleep after the 3 minutes.
But the guy wants to go prank Mark at the gas station first.
Oh, yeah. You know, things you do in real life.
They arrive at the gas station and tell Mark to fill up the tank. And so it's not self-service. For Spencer, you live in New Jersey. They don't let you pump your own gas there. for those of us in real states, we're allowed to pump our own gas.
Does Spencer live in New
Jersey? No, I think he lives in New York.
I was gonna say, do they make you pump your own gas in New York, or do they do the self-serve thing too?
I don't know. Is it Washington and New Jersey are the two you're not allowed to pump your own gas in?
I think it's those two.
Or maybe it's Oregon.
Yeah, I think Oregon might have it.
And then the 48 the 48 real states you're allowed to pump your own gas. Anyway, so Mark but apparently back then in Oklahoma, you had to have Mark pump your gas.
Yeah.
And so Mark's also like cleaning the windshield and stuff like that. And the girl goes, "Mark gives me the creeps. Has he ever even been with a girl?" And the guy goes, "Let's show him what it's like." And then they get to fingering.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he pulls her top down, too. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to prank Mark by showing him my girlfriend's tits. Wow, yeah, what a prank.
while I finger bang her. Like,
what a prank.
Mark watches this through the windshield. And when the gas pump's done, he goes back and tells the guy to leave. And the guy hands Mark another buck. Oh, man, it'd be nice for a buck to be able to buy any gas these days.
Yeah, right.
And then also hands him the girl's underwear, and he says, "Take these too."
Okay.
All right. So Mark puts them in the gas tank and lights it on fire, telling them they're good to go. They start driving down the street, and then their car explodes.
Happy Halloween.
And Mark laughs and walks up and calls 911. And then he's like, "Well, it's no rush." He's like, "There's just a car on fire.
Two people burning to death.
Yeah, my name's Mark," whatever his last name was. And he's like, "Happy Halloween." All right, another time jump 2 years later.
Nice.
Halloween night. A cashier is closing up for the night when Mark just pops up in the store, scaring her and asking if she'd like to get ice cream with him. She turns him down and locks the store and then calls her friend to talk about how creepy that Mark guy is.
Yeah, and then her friend's like, "You should just go with him on the date." And this is at this point I was like, yeah, why don't you just go with him on the date?
But it turns out Mark is still in the store.
And this time he wants to go to a movie. Oh, yep. My God.
And she slaps him, like, escalates. Yes. I would be weirded out if, like, I closed the store, locked the doors, turned out the lights, and then a guy stayed in there to ask me.
I mean, he's definitely creepy, but yes, the slap seems like an unnecessary escalation.
And then she goes to grab a knife.
Yeah.
Like, what we know about Mark seems like he's kind of
an awkward weirdo
who, like, was tortured by his dad.
Yes. He's, like, bullied as a child, awkward now as an adult.
Like, we have no inkling that, like, he's secretly a monster.
Yes.
They've done nothing to show us that other than just the way people react to him.
Yes.
But then later on, we'll learn that he potentially murdered, like, multiple children and, like, decapitated a dog.
Yep.
Like, and it's like, okay, but right now it just makes it seem like people are just shitty to Mark for no reason.
Yes, well, and that's the thing, too. Well, and, like, even, like, her friend on the phone doesn't understand why she's saying no. She's like, yeah, you should go with him.
And so she kind of, like, is stalked by Mark through the store, and eventually, like, he corners her, and he's like, "Would you go to the movies with me?" And she, like, holds up the knife. She's like, "Don't come near me," and, like, is, like, threatening him with the knife, and he grabs the blade of the knife.
It slices his hand,
of course. Then he starts strangling her.
Well, and first she cuts his hand, and he's bleeding, and so she screams. It's like, you just cut him. And then, yeah, he starts strangling her.
We cut to some lawyers and a judge talking about Mark attacking the girl.
My God, not this, Jay. Anything but this.
Apparently, he didn't kill her.
No.
But the girl and her family are scared of Mark and refuse to press charges. Once again, what are they scared of? They've given us no indication that other than Mark just being creepy, we're just going off of what everyone else is saying.
And this would make more sense at this point for them to say they're afraid of the grandma because she owns so much stuff or whatever. That would make sense. Mm-hmm. Like, she could retaliate against us. Or whatever.
This would be a great chance to bring up, like, the kids that he killed, but they couldn't prove.
We couldn't prove that he did this, or the dog.
The dog, like this would be, no, that doesn't get brought up for, like, another, like, 40 minutes.
And it's only in a casual conversation between two cops, too. It's not, like, even, like, anything that's presented, like, it's dramatic.
Yeah, we learned that Mark is in the care of his rich grandma, and now his parents are dead, and they say the grandma can pay for the medicine and the nurse for Mark, so we will learn that she, like, outfitted half of her property into the second biggest hospital in the county.
Yes, apparently she did enough work on it and pulled some strings to get it certified as an annex of the mental hospital, which I don't think that's something you can do.
I don't think you'd be allowed to either.
Apparently that's what you can do if you have money in southern Oklahoma.
In 1980s Oklahoma. Apparently some more time has passed. We said earlier, at bare minimum a year. Yes,
it's been at least a year. It seems like it's been a little bit longer than that. But they never tell us, so.
Mark's grandma has him locked in a room, medicated. Grandma asks Mark if he's been taking his medication, and he says yes, and she lets him out. But as he leaves the room, we see the medicine sitting on the table. Grandma talks about throwing a Halloween party, and Mark, holding a pair of scissors, delivers a great line about how, like, happy Halloween, you bitch, or something like that.
I believe he calls her a bitch, and then when she turns, he's like, you dried up old hag. You just gonna look at all of us nuts. Us nut rolls.
Us nut cakes. And
the expression is fruit cakes.
But he keeps saying nut cakes. And the grandma screams.
Yes, and we'll find out what happened to her later.
We are introduced to Billy, the jerk/jock character.
Yes. Okay, Billy is the alpha, and Al is the beta.
Except for Al is clearly the leader.
Except
everything they do is, like, with Al's permission, because I guess he's the one driving the car.
Yes, Al's the leader up until he gets scared, and then they're like, I don't know what to do. And then the other guy's like, I'll go check it out.
After not, well, and then they're all gonna go, and then only the guys are gonna go, and then,
but then he can tell Al's too scared to go, so he's just like, I'll just go. It's a whole thing. We gotta eat up the runtime of this thing, Jay.
And then we've got Mandy, who is a girl with long hair, and Kim, who is a girl with short hair, and their characteristics.
So you gotta have a girl with long hair and a girl with short hair, Jay.
The four teens are going to Halloween concert in Oklahoma, Halloween at the Hangar.
Oh, yeah.
But they're also going to Oklahoma because they can legally buy beer in Oklahoma, which means there's some, whatever state they are coming from, either Texas.
I'm assuming it's Texas.
Or Kansas. Or I don't know, one of the ones on the other sides. They're not allowed to buy beer at their age there, but they are allowed to buy beer at 18 in Oklahoma.
Yes, I was trying to think of a place that would have draconian alcohol laws, and Texas is the only place that's close by.
They immediately pull in, and they stop for some submarine sandwiches and some suds.
But Jay, they only stop there because somehow, even though they're just coming here now, they know that the shop has these sandwiches.
They know that the grill will have submarines. Is it a market? It's also a grill. They've got submarine sandwiches.
Hey, Jay, we're going to Halloween at the Hangar, right?
Yeah.
There's four bands. Actually, there's five. There's one out back. I was like, what the fuck is going on in this movie?
They then, instead of going to Halloween at the Hangar, they decide to go across the street to a costume shop.
Well, of course, as you do.
Kim wants Al to buy her a wig for the concert. Like, this red, I would say it's made out of, like, red tinsel.
Yes, it looks terrible.
It looks awful.
And they already ripped him off for the entire bill for the subs and suds, Jay.
So Al doesn't have enough money to buy the wig.
And by the way, he says that it costs $5 each to get into Halloween at the Hangar, and he's got $17. That doesn't even give him enough money to get in.
Unless Billy is paying for him and Mandy, unless, which is the only thing that makes sense.
He's counting them as a pair, but then if that's the case, then why wouldn't Billy just give him some more money for the sandwiches?
Right.
Don't worry, Jay. We've got an intrepid shop owner who's willing to make a deal, almost like we're in Dungeons and Dragons.
The shop owner says that his delivery boy called out on Halloween, the busiest night of the year.
My busiest night of the year.
And so he offers to give them the wig for free.
I'll give you my valueless wig in trade.
If they'll make a delivery to Hollowgate, the largest state with the large wrought iron gate in front of it that is holding a Halloween party. And he'll let her have the wig. Yes. And they agree to do it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jay, you work at Spirit Halloween. You've made no secret of that.
Yeah.
What's the retail value on something like that? Is Spirit paying like $2 for that thing?
Probably. Like it's like a $20 wig, and it's probably that one though. That one's probably not even.
As we say, that looked like a 99-cent piece of crap. And yeah, they're gonna go like he said 7 miles off the highway to deliver that for that wig.
They bring the costumes inside, and Mark they're into Hollowgate. They arrive at the giant gate, and they bring the costumes inside, and then that's when Mark comes out and he offers to give them a tour of the house. Oh. And everyone else is like, "Yeah, let's do it." And Al's like, "No, we really need to get to the concert."
You forgot, Jay, the incident at the speaker box at the gate. They're like, "We're here to deliver the costumes." Costumes? What?
Oh, for the party.
Oh, yeah. Like, and it's later confirmed that he's the one who called and ordered them. And yeah, he's like, costumes? What are you talking about? Couldn't possibly be my Halloween costumes that I called and ordered.
After some cajoling, they're able to convince Mark to do the tour, or Al to do the tour of the house. Mark shows them around, and when they go to go upstairs, he's like, don't go upstairs.
That's private.
But he says he has one last thing to show them, and we watch him walk down a hall, and as he does, he steals Al's keys from his pocket, because apparently Al just lets his keys hang out of his pocket willy-nilly.
I guess.
Mark then calls down the hall to Kim. He's like, oh, Kim, can you come help me with the surprise? So Kim walks down the hall. She screams, so the rest of the group runs to see it, and we see Grandma's dead body strung up with a pair of scissors sticking out of the eye.
Yep.
And Mark says, let's get this party started, as everyone runs away.
At least she's in a spooky spider web, Jay. It's festive.
They run to the van just for Mark to, or for Al to realize he doesn't have the keys, and then Mark comes out and he's like, come inside, I have, what is it like? I have costumes and I have the keys, or yes. Something like that.
He's like, come back, I have costumes. And then he pauses and then he shakes the keys. And the keys!
They run down to the front gate only for Billy to discover in the most Darwin Award way possible that the gate is electrified by just running up and grabbing it.
Of course.
Mark comes over the intercom and tells them to come back to the house and pick a costume, or else he'll start picking costumes. And they have 5 minutes before he gets offended.
Well, at least he gave him a time limit.
They hear a car and they see a cop car drive by, and they try to flag it down from the front gate. And
they're oblivious as usual.
And we then cut to the inside of the cop car, where we are now going to follow these cops for about 5 minutes and get a little more backstory on Mark. This is where we learn about the dead kids and the dead dog and the rich grandma and everything like that. Then one cop says to the other, let's go get some meatball sandwiches.
Yes, the cop, of course, he swerves, Jay, and he's like, oh God, look out. There's a huge thing of exposition here in the middle of the road.
Also, one of my favorite things is shortly afterwards, like Mark or Billy will say, or Al or Billy will say something like, we haven't seen it. You know, maybe we can flag down, one of the girls is like, maybe we can flag down another car. And then like I said, Al or Billy's like, are you crazy? That's the only car we've seen. When we cut to the inside of the cop car, there was a car driving behind them.
Yes. I did notice that, Jay. I noticed a lot of things in this movie. We haven't even scratched.
That's the only car we've seen, except for literally the one right behind it.
I also like how the cop doing the exposition dump doesn't say what the grandma's actual name is. He calls her Grandma Walters.
Yep. Back at Hollowgate, we watch like a POV of Mark touching a soldier uniform, and he casually drops the G slur for Asian people multiple times.
Oh, does he, Jay?
Sure does. And then we cut back to the group, and Billy decides to, after arguing like you and I just talked about, Billy decides he's going to go investigate the shed that has a bunch of cars inside of it.
Nice, nice. Good plan. Solid.
Billy checks one car, doesn't find any keys. Jeff, you know what? Earlier on off the air, I made a joke about how, like, clearly this isn't a comedy because they don't follow any of the comedy rules. And here's a perfect example. Comedy's funny in threes.
Mm-hmm.
Billy checks one car, doesn't find keys, goes to the second car, doesn't find any keys. And this is where G.I. Mark pops out. Says, "Happy Halloween, G-slur," and then stabs Billy in the stomach with a knife.
And of course, after I laughed uproariously for 5 minutes.
It caught me so off guard. I was like, what the fuck?
I was like, boy, I gotta show my dad this movie. And then, of course, see, he ruined it for me, Jay. He says, "Better feed the jaguar with this one." And I'm like... okay, so you're cosplaying a Vietnam soldier, and you're talking about feeding an animal that's only in South and Central America? The fuck is this? Tigers, man. The tigers.
Get your racism right, exactly. Is what Jeff's saying.
Lazy. Lazy racism, Jay, and I won't stand for it.
Yeah, I noticed you're sitting down.
Yeah, I rarely stand for it.
But just, that was the thing.
Out of nowhere.
When he was just casually saying the word, I was like, all right, like, this is what we're doing. I think you said you were like, literally you rewound it because you're like,
I was like, surely not. Surely that's not what he just said.
And then, but I was like, all right, you know what? It's the 80s. It's fine. But for him to just pop out and say, "Happy Halloween," and stab him.
Yes, it would have just been a fun little footnote or whatever if it hadn't been incorporated into that kill. But yes, I lost it for a while, I will say. And it was just as funny on the rewatch.
So. Also, he's like crouched in the back seat.
Yes, that also made absolutely no sense.
So like, was there no back seat? And instead it's just like completely taken out because he had enough room to just stand there and then jump out and stab him.
It's like, how, my biggest question was, how would he even know that's what they would try to do? Is go in there and check the cars, because it's like common sense would tell you they're going to try and find somewhere to scale the fence and get out.
Nope, instead he knew they were going to go not only to the shed.
Check that car specifically. And yes, he somehow has it set up so he can wait in ambush in the back seat.
So if they just hadn't gone there, they would have all survived.
Yeah, I think so. Well, it seems like he can't switch personas until he's killed somebody, Jay. So he would have been stuck in Nam forever.
Alvin goes, like, as he sees Billy walk out, and Al goes, "See, look, he's fine." Even though he comes, like, stumbling out with a large blood stain on his chest.
Whatever reason, Jay, that line reminded me of you. Something you would say in that situation. "See, look, he's fine."
But I would say it. I would say it to be funny. Yes. Al is saying it 100% seriously.
He's playing it straight.
Al then sees the knife and runs up to help Billy, just for G.I. Mark to appear and tomahawk throw an axe into the back of Billy's head.
Of course.
And we get like the silliest death maybe ever put to film.
I don't even know.
As I think he like stops, stands up, turns and kind of looks at the camera, looks back, and then falls.
Well, yeah, Jay, obviously. You gotta make sure you're in the shot.
G.I. Mark then threatens Al with a knife. He's like, "Sarge, you gotta get out of here."
Yeah. Well, obviously he's done his kill for this persona, so now he has to go switch costumes.
Back to the cops. They pull into the same diner from before. This is you can apparently get both submarine sandwiches and meatball sandwiches at this diner / grill / market.
Is there anything this place can't do?
Nope. I believe he actually says, like, "We'll make you anything." Anything.
All
right, I'll just show up. Like, can I get some pho and some pheasant under glass? And
I want the world's rarest truffle.
They got it. I believe the owner is like, all right, I'll get you my moldy meatball sandwiches with blood red sauce.
Yep.
Because it's Halloween.
Yeah.
We return to Hollowgate, where Mandy is in tears because her and Billy had just fucked for the first time the night before.
Oh, no.
She's like, I think I loved him. I mean, we did just do it.
One, no. Two, oh, yeah, I'm sure you'll never be able to find another meathead again.
I think she also says, like, I mean, I did hate him sometimes.
Yeah. You know, well, even though these kids all look like they're pushing 30, I think they're supposed to be high schoolers.
I think there's, yeah. Al tries to keep them moving. We then see the POV, another Mark POV shot, and now he's touching a cowboy outfit. Ooh, Pilgrim.
Ooh, yeah, that's right, Pilgrim. He's going to tell people about how he was at the first Thanksgiving.
They see a large clearing, and Al's like, all right, I'll run across first, and then I'll signal, instead of just all three of them running across at once.
It's like, they spend, again, I think this was to extend this to feature length, but they spend so much fucking time talking about what they're gonna do before they do it, and then making the stupidest possible plan. It's like, okay, yeah, I'll run across, and then I'll make it to the other side, and then you run, but zigzag back and forth, so he can't get you, even though Mark is literally not even anywhere close by.
Yeah, they have no idea where Mark is. So Al runs across. He then signals for Kim to come, and Kim does the silliest run I've maybe ever seen, where her arms are only go forward and then just immediately back down to like her side. They don't go forward and back like pumping her arms. She's literally running like she's signaling for a diesel truck to like honk its horn.
Yep. It was the only thing I can remember being close to that was the weird scenes of Billy in nature in Silent Night, Deadly Night, when he's supposed to be like running in nature or whatever. It was about that awkward.
Oh, it's also Sydney's run in Scream, where she does that. That might rival this for silliest run ever put to film.
That's true.
So then Kim makes it across. They signal for Mandy, who starts running, but then Buckaroo Mark rolls up on a tractor and shoots Mandy in the leg.
Yep, first the leg.
No, shoots her in the stomach. He shoots Al in the leg.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, he has to stop Al from escaping.
Al runs up. Yeah, Al runs up to help, shoots him in the leg, and then Buckaroo Mark runs Mandy over with like his tractor lawnmower.
Yep. Thought you could come on my spread, did you, boy? Trying to take my woman.
We cut back to the cops, who are now done with their meatball sandwiches, and in walks the costume shop owner from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We get another POV shot, this time of Mark touching a foxing outfit.
And just to be absolutely clear, we'll talk about the editing of this when we get to it, but the smash cut of the girl being lawn mowed goes directly into them finishing their meatball sets with no kind of transition or fade or anything. It's just a smash cut to them eating their meatball sets.
There is. Al and Kim find a golf cart, and after Al gives a performance that probably inspired Tim Robinson,
oh my God.
They get to the golf cart, but then Lord Mark appears and gives a speech about how he's kept these dogs hungry since grandma died, but now it's time for them to feast, and we see the two happiest golden retrievers you've ever seen.
Not only that, Jay, the least threatening dogs possible, but yeah, he's like, you haven't been fed since grandmama died, and it's like, so what, earlier today, because she hasn't decomposed or anything at all? Yeah, the dogs are starving, Jay, they haven't had breakfast.
The dogs, he lets the dogs out as Al and Kim drive maybe 10 yards.
If they're lucky, 10 yards.
In the golf cart. Kim immediately falls out. And so then Al, instead of just continuing to drive, walks out of the golf cart just for the two dogs to jump on him. And from wide shots, it looks like the dogs are just like licking playing him, with a guy and licking him. But then we will randomly just cut to him up close, pretending like he's being mauled, but the dogs aren't in the shot.
Oh, well, how could they be, Jay? They're the least threatening animal you could possibly find. It's like, what's the nicest, dumbest dog you can get? Oh, golden retriever. Yeah, let's make that my attack dog.
Somebody owned two golden retrievers, and they were just like, sure, put them in the movie.
You know, the only thing that would have made it better is if one had a red bandana and the other one had a blue bandana, Jay.
Lord Mark approaches Kim and says he will get
I will get you to the hospital.
The costume shop owner mentions that he sent the costumes to Hollowgate, but the cops are like, we didn't see anything at Hollowgate. And so the cop calls Hollowgate.
Of course, yeah, he just knows the number.
Dr. Mark is prepping Kim for surgery when the phone rings, and he goes to answer it, but the cop hangs up before Mark has a chance to answer it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so the cops decide to go check out Hollowgate.
Yeah, and this would have been the perfect opportunity for the costume shop owner to fuck on these kids. Being like, yeah, I got these idiots to take the costume delivery up. Oh, yeah, and he also says he's going to fire the stock boy. I thought that was funny.
Dr. Mark tries to make Kim drink ammonia, but she's able to get a hand free and splash it into his eyes. Kim's able to get free from her restraints just as Dr. Mark. Lunges at her, and she grabs, like, a kitchen knife off the table and stabs him with it.
Well, I thought we learned earlier he can't be stopped by kitchen knives, Jay.
Yep. The cops arrive up front, but they can't get through on the intercom.
Oh, God. I almost died almost as hard as the pop-up from the back of the car scene. When he kicks down the door, I'm doing air quotes, his foot never even makes contact with it and is the weakest, worst sound effect you've ever heard. He kicks down this giant wooden door and it goes, creak!
The cops hear Kim scream, so they force their way inside. Dr. Mark continues to chase Kim, and he has her pinned down on the bed, getting ready to stab her just for the cops to burst in and shoot him twice. He then falls back towards Kim, and we get a POV shot of him falling, like, towards Kim, and she screams.
And he also gets shot right in the forehead, by the way, which makes the ending of this make even less sense.
It is now daytime, and we see a hearse and an ambulance leave Hollowgate. And I was like, oh, this is the end of the movie. It's not.
And the ambulance is like a 60s van. And I was like, okay, so obviously this must be pretty rural, right? So how the fuck is there a police department for this tiny area? It's like sheriff's deputies, maybe. We're like state troopers. You know, yeah, Jay was like a boss hog type, maybe.
Yep.
Something like that would make sense.
Kim is in the hospital, and when the doctor enters, she hallucinates that it's Dr. Mark again, and they have to pin her down and drug her. And I thought, oh, cool. We'll have like something interesting happen where then Dr. Mark will escape and attack her. Mm-hmm. Nope. We then cut to a bunch of like medical equipment hooked up to Mark, and the camera pans around the room and then stops on Mark as he opens his eyes. Credits, end of movie.
See, when I unfortunately saw that the movie was not going to end with the ambulance ride, I was like, that would have been perfect to roll credits as it's driving off. I was like, maybe it'll be, so she hallucinates it's Dr. Mark. Maybe we'll get another time jump since this movie loves that. And it'll be like 10 years later and she's getting out of the hospital or whatever. And it's like, oh, you've got a ride to take you home. And then she gets in the car and it could be Mark again.
She gets in the cop car.
Yes, it's him driving.
Because I had my thought was, I had mentioned this to you earlier. My thought was, oh, the cops are going to arrive. There's going to be this big thing. And then Mark's going to have a cop costume. Mm-hmm. And he's going to switch into that to like get the upper hand on the cops. Nope, that doesn't happen either. That would have been too clever for this movie.
Yeah. Or since obviously he loves role-playing his people so much, another good twist would have been Grandma's been dead for years and he's just been pretending to be Grandma and treating himself fair.
Oh, I had also had the thought, because Mark loves role-playing so much, that Mark had like scalped Kim and he was the one in the mental asylum wearing her hair.
I was going to say, yeah, that was also a thought that crossed my mind. I'm like, are we sure that this is actually her?
All those things might have been a better way to end the movie.
Yeah, we were way too clever for this movie, Jay. We were thinking too many possibilities.
Nope, instead it's just the classic, the end, question mark.
And it's not even as good of an ending as like a Halloween where the ground is just empty or whatever. No, you see him. He's just in the hospital. And it's like, oh, so if they wanted to do another one of these, they'd have to come up with some crazy contrivance to get him out of the hospital. Because, like, yeah, I'm sure the judge is going to let him out for a third time.
After what happened the last time we let him out, I'm sure he's learned his lesson this time.
Yes, this will be his third chance. He blew the people up in the car. He almost killed the girl, but apparently didn't finish the job on that one.
Killed possibly two people off screen.
Decapitated a dog and then murdered all these kids and his grandma. But yeah, I'm sure he's going to get back out, Jay. Well, you know what, Jay? We got a sequel to this we can do next year.
What's that, Jeff?
There's a 2011 remake of this movie that's also a soft sequel.
What? No way.
Yep.
I think, oh man,
it's out there.
I'm looking it up right now. Hold on. Riveting podcasting. I know.
Oh, here we go. He's looking, folks. He's typing on his phone. Here we go. We see it. See it live action.
Nothing's coming up for me. I'm not saying the only thing that comes up for me is a movie called Hollow from 2011.
Let me see.
Also, there is a YouTube video of just the fingering car exploding scene.
Oh, it was a 2013 remake.
Hollowgate Exploding Car Panties is the name of the YouTube video. So if anyone wants to just see that scene, it is on YouTube.
It is a 2013 slasher horror remake of the 1988 film of the same name.
Oh my god.
While also serving as a soft sequel to the original.
Oh my god.
And for some reason now he's Mark Randall instead of Mark Walters.
Oh, we'll have to see if we can figure out where to watch this.
Oh boy. Yeah, it changes the lore somewhat.
All right. Well, we'll maybe try to cross that bridge when we get there.
Oh, we're crossing it, Jay. How could we not after this?
Yeah, Fanon Wiki is the only place it's mentioned. There's like a missing like Black Christmas fan film that like will occasionally pop up if you're searching for Black Christmas. And it's one of those where I'm like, I want to find this just because I want to see this missing weird fan film.
That would be awesome.
All right. Well, anyway, besides dreaming about what Hollowgate 2013 is about, what category do you want to start with, Jeff?
Oh, I don't know, Jay. What do you think?
I mean, I've been itching to read these quotes.
I was going
to
say, we might as well just get the quotes out of the way.
All right.
You dried up old hag.
I hate Halloween. It's dumb. Mark, very next scene. Halloween, 10 years later. Uh-oh.
You just want to get us all together, all of us nutcakes, don't you? All of us nutcakes in one place. I was like, is he thinking of fruitcakes, and he's mixing that up with being called a nut, or what's going on here?
Just a few Halloween nutcakes, just a few people, just a few of us friggin' nuts. Is that all you old bitch want? Happy Halloween, you filthy old hag.
Of course, Jay. We should pull over. I'm starved, and they have submarine sandwiches.
It's a grill. How about we stop for a submarine sandwich and some suds on the side? Billy, then later, you know, I think I could live on submarine sandwiches.
I mean, yeah, you probably could. It's meat, bread, cheese, yeah. Yeah, that's some of the main foods, yeah.
Another Mark nutcake. It's Halloween, boys and girls. Just a bunch of us old nutcakes, huh? So what do you say we have ourselves? What do you say we have us a little party?
Uh-oh.
And then I've got one last Mark. While you look to see if you got any others.
Oh, I got some.
Car blows up. Mark walks over, casually calls 911. May I have the fire department, please? Oh, no, it's not an emergency. There's a car burning with a couple in it. Oh, it's at the old gas station off Highway 58. Walters, Mark Walters. And by the way, happy Halloween.
Yes, I had a maniacal laugh. He does a decent one. He's looking through the costumes. He finds the Vietnam one first, and he's just like, war is hell. War is hell. War
he
is
does
hell.
That. He does. He like, yeah, he'll like say the line with his normal voice or like kind of like an intimidating voice. And then he switches into like the character voice.
Yeah, he's like, he's trying to get the, he's like, I got to figure out a voice for this costume. And then of course, when he's Buckaroo, as you call him, Jay.
Buckaroo Mark.
You got to come out now. There's no way out. Filthy little pig.
Jeff, I'm not saying we should try to get the licensing for the Hollowgate action figures so we can release a Mark action figure, a GI Mark action figure, a Buckaroo Mark action figure, a Lord Mark action figure, and a Dr. Mark action figure.
The merchandising rights to this movie would be great. My last one was when he's going to release the hounds. Oh, these hounds must be positively famished. They haven't been fed since Grandmama died.
At most, maybe like a day or two earlier.
A day, probably, at the most, yeah. It looks like even less than that, probably. Like, she killed her that morning or whatever.
Those dogs were having so much fun.
But yes, the good quality doggos. Oh, and of course, our happy Halloween scene, Jay. I don't know. Should I read the quote, Jay?
You know what? We'll do it once.
All right. Happy Halloween.
Hey, listener. Editor Jay here. I bet you thought I was going to let Jeff do a racism there. You silly sausage. I wouldn't let that happen. The term that is used in this movie is a derogatory term that means a foreigner, particularly a person of Southeast Asian descent. Anyway, back to the spooktacular.
There you go.
Just pops out and does that.
Yes, knife in the chest, pops out of the back of a car, seemingly making no sense, by the way.
Also, it needs to be said, Billy is a white guy.
Yes, completely white, of course. The whitest man you could possibly find.
Like, it would have... Now, would it have been more offensive if maybe Billy had been an Asian man? Possibly.
It's hard to say. I don't know, Jay. You know, that's a good question to ask for this movie overall. Could it have been more offensive? Possibly.
Possibly.
But no, that's... Oh, what was that? Oh, yeah. The cops, they're giving us our exposition dump of everything that's happened over the last three time skips. And he's like, and so, yeah, that's when old Grandma Walters did blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Grandma Walters? Yes, the cops call her Grandma Walters.
You know, Grandma Walters. It's like Mom from Futurama. Yeah. It's just Grandma Walters.
It's Grandma Walters, yeah. But yeah, no, lots of good quotes in this one.
All right, well, let's move on to Halloween decorations, costume sets, etc.
Very disappointing with such a strong start and then nothing.
I thought the gore effects on Granny were great.
Yeah,
I thought the exploding car heralded something like, oh, we're about to see like a movie that clearly had a budget.
Nope, they spent all their money on that,
Jim. They spent all their money on those two things. Every other scene will be like someone getting killed, and then you just get it like a hard cut to their face with like blood smeared on their face, and then a wide cut like back to whatever is like happening, and then another hard cut back to their face with more blood as they scream,
and then a smash cut to two fatsos eating meatball subs.
I did think the giant estate that they got to shoot on, like, it looked impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it looked impressive, but it looked like something that you would find like in upstate New York, not in Oklahoma. But I mean, that's beside the point.
It's the house in California they were able to rent to shoot this movie in.
Yeah. I don't know. Apparently they got some nice estates in Thousand Oaks, Jay.
Yeah. But yeah, I really don't have any other.
I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot. I mean, the costumes are pretty much just like dime store Halloween costumes.
They were very generic. It was fun. It was fun. Like, I was not expecting it to take the turn of Mark is going to change into these costumes and attack me. Yes. Like, based off of what kind of what the general synopsis is of like this killer guy who hates Halloween hosting a Halloween party. Like, this was not the direction I was expecting the movie to go in at all.
Well, you want to know something about not expecting the direction that a movie is going to go in, Jay? Let me read you something very quickly. So if you look up this movie to stream and you go to Tubi, you know, you're like, this should have a decent description of what you're going to see, right, Jay?
Yeah, you would think so.
And you would think, oh, yeah, with all the stuff that happens in this movie. So, you know, it should say, like, a bullied child goes crazy on Halloween, kills people or whatever. An excitable, this is the description for Google for Tubi. All
right.
An excitable young man with two dogs does things on Halloween night.
You know what? I can't disagree.
And I was like, yeah, all those things are in there, but I don't think you really captured
what occurs in Hollowgate.
But yeah, no, that's the Tubi description on Google for Hollowgate.
Imagine you read that, and then you're like, when the fuck did the dog show up?
And not even like any kind of useful description. Does things. He does things.
It could be anything.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, they technically aren't wrong. He does things.
He could be murdering people, or he could be getting submarine sandwiches. He could be doing anything.
It could be anything, Jay. Even a boat.
It could be anything, even a boat.
God, Captain or Sailor Mark. That would have been good.
I would have loved Captain Mark.
Kill him on a boat, but in dry land. It's like a rowboat. He's got in his shins.
Has like a giant yacht, but it's just, what do they call it? Like land... not landlocked, but something like that.
Oh yeah,
like land docked or whatever.
Like in dry docked. Or whatever. Yeah,
they just have this dry docked yacht right on the thing, and so they go to investigate, and then just Captain Mark walks out and like shoots one of them with a harpoon gun. We're writing an amazing sequel.
I was going to say, we have to make a sequel now. We can't track down whatever the hell that other thing is, Jay. I think we should ask for the sequel rights to this.
All right, well, Jeff, how Halloween spirit, how Halloweeny is the movie? How Halloweeny were the kills?
Well, the kills were pretty bad, as we said. Not a whole lot. I mean, the dog kill is memorable, but not because it's good. It's because of what it, I mean, the Happy Halloween kill is memorable, but not because it's a good kill.
I will say the kills are somewhat Halloween-y because he is wearing different costumes while performing them.
He's wearing different costumes. He's doing it because it's Halloween, so that also adds to the Halloween factor. But yeah, the actual quality of the kills is basically zero. And as far as like it's not like we don't get a candy kill like Trick or Treat or anything like that. It's pretty much all generic kills.
Yep. How Halloween-y is the movie? Kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Starts out with very strong Halloween potential, and then, other than the fact that it is Halloween mentioned multiple times,
and he's wearing costumes,
you would not know it's Halloween.
Yes, it's kind of like in Day of the Beast, where for most of the movie they just say it's Christmas Eve or whatever, and that's all that you see except for that one. It has one moment of very high potential decorations and everything, and then nothing in the rest of the movie.
But that's the thing. I would have loved. I've had this kind of thought lately where I'm like, I don't think people get like what a Halloween party is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like I've never been of the opinion that like, and I say this as someone who like in college for Halloween, I would sit in my room and like, drink some beers and watch horror movies. And like that's what I did every year. I didn't go to Halloween parties on campus or whatever. I had partially for 2 years, I was an RA, but also for the other 2 years, it was because I wanted to sit at home and watch horror movies. Cause that's what I do on Halloween. That's what I do other times. But
I was going to say, you're telling me, Jay, that you were watching some horror movies and downing some suds.
Yep. I was, classic Halloween tradition, drinking some suds and watching horror movies. But like all that to say, a Halloween party needs to be like, to me, like in my mind, when I think Halloween party, I think tens of people.
Yeah.
Like I think Trick or Treat. Trick or Treat captures to me like what a Halloween party is, that scene where like they view the swinger Halloween party that's going on, and like, why is that werewolf butt fucking Mr. Johnson or whatever?
Or the, you know, a good example, if you watch classic TV, I guess it pains me to say this is classic TV now, but like the Halloween parties on Roseanne
or Home Improvement. Year,
where they have like a party at the lodge or whatever. And yeah, that's kind of what I picture when I think of a Halloween party.
Like I picture a big raucous Halloween party. There's music, that there's black lights, and it's like, no, there's nothing to indicate. This is just a dude killing people on Halloween wearing costumes.
Like, Halloween party is supposed to be young adults up to adults, you know, women dressing in sexy costumes, men getting shit-faced, the usual stuff. But yeah, this is, like I said at the beginning, I'm like, is this like, is his birthday Halloween or something? Because that's what I was assuming.
That was my assumption. I was like, is there some missing thing about how, like, one of the reason Mark hates Halloween is because his birthday is Halloween.
That would actually make
sense. And Halloween overshadows his birthday and he doesn't like Halloween.
Because, yeah, they had, like, weird orange and black balloons tied up, like, this traditional birthday thing. They had the weird tablecloths, and it was, like, kids, like, his age, like, 10 years old or whatever. And I was like, I don't know if this passes the Halloween party test.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a thing I've noticed lately. Like, I'll see things where it's, like, Halloween party, and, you know, kind of portrayed in media, and I'm like, I wouldn't call that a Halloween party.
Yeah. That's just a party.
Yep. I you know, it's kind of like, I would love to go to a movie screening that is like the movie screening in Scream 2.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be pretending to show what a movie screening is like, it needs to at least be close to that level. Like, if you're being like, oh, it's this big blockbuster movie screening, or like, it's this big event. It can't just be like, you know, 20 people in a theater. Like,
yeah. Your Halloween party can't be five kids at a birthday party.
Exactly. All right. Well, Jeff, burnt out jack-o'-lantern, one thing you want to fix, and brilliant jack-o'-lantern, one thing you want to praise.
I mean, there are so many things I wanted to fix with this movie, Jay. It was really hard to pick just one because there are so many things that hold this movie back. But honestly, the one thing that I just kept coming to over and over and over again was, these people cannot act to save their lives, Jay. Especially the kids. The kids are the fucking worst. Mark's not good, but he's not, like, bad enough to ruin the movie for you. But these fucking kids, my God, especially I don't know if we talked about it on the air or just off the air, but Al, especially when he's supposed to be quote-unquote scared, is the worst actor in this fucking movie.
And he just wildly, like, vacillates from being like, I love you, baby. Like, you're fucking stupid. I love you so much.
You gotta fucking do what I tell you. I love you. Yes, when you said it's Tim Robinson, that's literally what it feels like, a Tim Robinson sketch. It's like, oh, he's gonna fucking kill us, we gotta get the fuck out of here. So anyway. But yes, no, the acting is painful, especially from the people that we unfortunately spend the most time with in the movie. And like the scenes where they act, they're trying to like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. And then they explain what they're going to do, proceed to not follow the plan. And then one of them dies. They repeat that 4 times and not one of them sells their death at all. But I just got to say, the two worst ones are the one you mentioned where Billy gets killed and he gets up, looks at the camera, falls back down, and then the dog attack. I don't think we need to say anything else at this point except the dog attack.
I'm right there with you. My burnt out Jack Land. We've seen some real shitty actors doing this podcast.
But this is up in the top.
This takes the cake. Like, these people overact like crazy. And I don't, you know, I'm not always willing to like say, oh, it's entirely the actor's fault. Like, you know, there are certainly, I think the direction deserves some blame as well. And I think that kind of stands out here too. Like, there's a reason that most of these actors and this director never don't have another credit to their name.
Haven't done. And I mean, honestly, it's like, yes, you can blame the direction to a certain extent, but I'm guessing like he told Al, act scared in this scene, and then that's what the direction he chose to go in with it. And it's like, I was like, really, you can't reshoot some of these and get a better line read? He literally flubs like 4 of his most important lines and they just left it in.
Jeff, they don't do 2 takes.
Yeah, I'm a one take actor, Jay. So anyway,
all right, brilliant jack-o'-lantern, the thing you want to praise.
My brilliant jack-o'-lantern is just, well, honestly, I want to make a quick comment. My burnt out Jack Lantern was almost the audio quality, but that's like, we've heard some terrible audio doing this. So it's like, I'm just going to move past it. I don't want to keep harping. It's like, it's a limit of the technology that they had access to, but just to be warned, the audio is terrible.
There was one scene where like grandma's talking and I was like, get that mic up in there.
Yes, like, get it up under her so you can hear, like, get the boom, boom. And then literally Mark is talking and he's not mic'd. He's just coming through her mic and he's just echoing off the back like, yes, Jay, I'm talking to you also in the room.
You old bitch.
But no, for a brilliant jack-o'-lantern, there were a couple things I considered praising, but honestly, I have to praise Mark's performance in this, Jay, because acting opposite these kids, he's getting nothing. And this script, he's getting nothing. For all intents and purposes, this should be a movie that was never remembered by anybody because it's not any good. But Mark's performance doing some of these things, like, obviously, the Happy Halloween scene alone, to be able to even do that with a straight face. I don't even know how he managed. The flipping between the different personas tied to the costumes. I mean, it takes... Yes, he doesn't do any of them well, but he at least attempts to do it.
I was going to save this for my final rating, but I do have to, it feels like it fits here. This performance is Eric Freeman-esque.
Yes.
Like
that, honestly, I was picturing Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 when he was doing some of these characters. I'm like, yeah, I could see an Eric Freeman in this.
My brilliant jack-o'-lantern, the thing I want to praise is I want to shout out John Gonzalez, the composer, composed the soundtrack of this movie. And I thought the soundtrack was pretty good.
Yes.
I wouldn't say it's iconic, but like I was sitting there, like whenever the soundtrack would kick in, I'm like, this is a pretty good soundtrack. Like,
yeah. Well, as much as anything in this can be iconic, Jay, I think the soundtrack probably is vying for top spot.
You know, like if someone's like, you could listen to the Hollow Gate soundtrack or you could listen to John Carpenter's Halloween. Well, clearly I'm going to listen to John Carpenter. But like, if I'm like, you know what? Like if someone was like, hey, here's a copy of the Hollow Gate soundtrack on vinyl, like you could buy it for $20.
I'd take
it. I'd probably buy that.
I'd throw it on at a Halloween party with me and my 5-10-year-old friends.
All right, well, final rating, Jeff. Every episode of Horror for the Holidays, Halloween Spooktacular, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it candy corny? Is it seasonally spooky? Or is it 6 feet under? Jeff, what is Hollowgate?
Jay, this is quite possibly one of the hardest ratings of my life. Because I was like... Okay, obviously, it's candy corny for two sickos like us, but would it be candy corny for an actual viewer?
Or no.
Is it 6 feet under? I'm saying this thing is 6 feet under. For the like for two weirdos like Jay and I, this movie is candy corny. It's hilarious to watch how bad this is, even in comparison to some of the other bad shit we've seen during this podcast. This is like, you know, I didn't think we were going to get something in the running so close to Christmas Craft Fair Massacre level acting, Jay, so close to seeing that movie. But we're getting some acting that's on that Zoom call tier. But I just had to go. Like I said, if I was rating it for like us or like, you know, like Mike or maybe Matt Dupay, you know, I'd say it was candy corny. But for a general audience, like the people listening to this podcast, it's 6 feet under.
And Jeff, I'll tackle the other half. This is candy corny. If you like Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, if you like Eric Freeman, this is essentially Silent Night, Deadly Night 2 set at Halloween.
Yeah.
In every possible way. With the exception of having clips to a previous movie, because there is no previous movie.
Yes, it's completely original.
But like in every other way, like this is a Halloween version of Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. This movie is so bad it's good in just all the right ways. 15 minutes in, I had already texted Jeff multiple times to tell him I was just having a blast and the fun never stopped. You know, there are times we've done reviews and I've been like, and, you know, and Peter Rottentail, for instance, where I'm like, I didn't enjoy this movie, but if I had watched this movie with Jeff, like if we had been watching this movie in the same room, I think I would give this a better review. Mm. This movie, I didn't need other people in the same room to just have a fun time.
This, honestly, this movie is more entertaining the more Halloween movies you've seen, I think. The more horror movies you've seen, this gets funnier.
like I said, if you like Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, I cannot recommend this movie enough. If you hate Silent Night, Deadly Night 2, watch this because you'll gain appreciation for Eric Freeman's performance.
And you know, Jay, I wish, you know, we need a substitute garbage day, you know, for our Halloween show. I think you know what quote I'm thinking of. You think we could get away with that, Jay?
Maybe. I was actually thinking though, like, oh, not a hurry, just two people burning alive. Mark Walters, happy Halloween. I was thinking maybe getting something from the 911 call.
Yeah, something like that. Oh, what did you think I was talking about, Jay?
Certainly not the most iconic line in the movie.
In this movie's garbage day. Yeah.
The line that I've literally at work today, I think four separate times, explained the whole plot of this movie just to get to happy Halloween, G-Slur, snap.
Ah, I love it.
All right. Well, Jeff, did you stop to think that maybe we're wrong?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Jay. And
maybe there's a razor blade in the candy.
We're wrong on both ends, because apparently this movie is simultaneously worse and better than we say it is.
I did see a couple 10-star reviews, but I was wondering if people were being facetious.
It's hard to say, honestly.
But yeah, I've got a handful of reviews. I don't know if we want to go through all of them, but
I have four.
I think I got about four. I'll start with a short one. Oh my god, 1 out of 10 stars. I, for one thing, am glad to not found this movie anywhere else besides Video Update. This is, in my opinion, the worst movie ever made. Wow, sounds like someone who hasn't seen Christmas Craft Fair Massacre. The plot is about a young boy almost getting drowned one night by his drunken father. Almost is the key word. And that is about the only thing we ever heard about his father doing anything else, except we also mentions that he beats his mom and him constantly, but sure. All right, I know people who grew up having beatings every night of their youth lives and became something other than a homicidal maniac. Out of 10, 0.
Nice.
Essentially, 0 out of 10 if I could.
If you ever wondered what it would look like if Halloween candy corn grew legs and tried to make a slasher, Hollowgate is your answer. Wooden actors stumble through the world's darkest living room sets while the killer cycles through costumes like a toddler at Spirit Halloween. There's a lawnmower death that looks like a yard care commercial gone bad, and the murderous dogs are the only believable performers in the movie.
Jeff, I want to cut up the lawnmower kill in Sinister that everyone talks about. They say it's one of the scariest moments in movie history. Instead, I want to just cut in the lawnmower kill from this movie.
You should, Jay. Put that on our Instagram. Imagine a haunted house attraction where the lights don't work and everyone's just confused. That's this film. 0 stars, but my condolences to the VHS tape that has had to hold this mess for decades.
I'll buy that VHS tape off of you.
I'd buy that for
2 out of 10. The most pathetic victims in the history of movie.
Yeah, I agree.
The movie could have some positive traits, but they are wasted by the heroes.
Yeah.
It goes like this. No, no, please, no. Let's go. Please get up and run. Please, please start moving. I cannot. No, you have to go. No, no, no. Please, please, no. Let's go. I cannot go further. No, it's horrible. Yes, it's that horrible. Then we have a girl unable to run a little. She just kind of lays on the ground waiting to be shot and then run over by a lawnmower.
Yeah, she does do that.
Though we have an attempt to run using a golf cart. 3 exclamation points. I was unable to watch the rest of the movie anymore. Well, you missed out. You missed out on the...
you missed out on a pretty funny kill by leaving at that point. Yeah, I mean, I can't disagree, really. That the acting review is accurate.
I mean, the acting's terrible. This isn't a 2 out of 10 movie.
Okay, now this one is from an academic blog about filmmaking in the 80s.
All right.
Hollowgate represents the nadir of late 1980s direct-to-video horror. The pacing is erratic, the lighting is inadequate, and the acting exists in the uncanny valley between hostage video and high school improv. The supposed gimmick, a killer who changes costumes for each murder, quickly devolves into a bewildering series of wardrobe malfunctions. The narrative coherence is such that it raises ontological questions about whether a plot ever existed at all. 0 stars, though as an artifact of failed cinema, it holds a value to the masochistic among us.
I've read a lot of things where they're like, this is the bottom of 80s slasher movies. 3 out of 10, painfully bad slasher flick. Hollowgate is early Joseph Mary Richard Pepin production made before they formed PM Productions, who made a slew of decent action and horror films during the 90s. This one is easily one of the worst horror films I have ever seen. It's about psycho Mark Walters, Addison Randall, killing a bunch of incredibly stupid teenagers at his isolated country estate during Halloween night while wearing various silly costumes, soldier, doctor, cowboy. The killings are bloody, but the storyline is so dumb that you'll just shake your head in complete disbelief at some of the things these teenagers do. The acting is awful, and there is no suspense whatsoever. Disagree. There is one moment of great suspense that pays off perfectly. Happy Halloween. The film is clearly as bad as Joseph Mary's Newly Deads, so if you're a fan of that kind of trash, you won't be disappointed. As for me, I give up 3 out of 10. And all I'm hearing after reading that whole review, besides not enjoying Happy Halloween, is that we need to watch Newly Deads.
This was from a horror magazine from 1989, Jay. I paid $3 to rent this from Video Ranger, and I want my money back. The box promised a terrifying night of Halloween horror. What I got was a guy in a bad wig chasing people with stolen props from my uncle's garage. The special effects looked like ketchup packets from Wendy's. One kill scene actually made me laugh so hard I had to rewind it twice. You know the one. Yeah, we know the one. If I wanted dogs barking at me and licking me all over, I would just go in my backyard. 0 stars. Don't rent this. Buy literally anything else. Yes, even mannequin.
All right, here's my last one. Pointlessly violent horror film that wallows in its own.
Shit.
Just cuts off. Hollowgate is so unoriginal, so cheap and shoddily produced, so very badly acted, and so dark at times that it will come across as a complete and utter waste of time. Disagree. I thought it was a great time. The plot is so low budget, horror based that it degenerates into the same fate as other late 80s horror, and that is a ripoff. I mean, at least Jason and Freddy had motives. The sicko that slays in this one is supposedly crazy due to an abusive childhood. In flashback, we see the boys, named Mark, father dunk his head in water. Ooh. I can see how he was actively in the process of trying to drown him, but sure, yeah, he was dunking his head in water. I can see how he turned into a homicidal maniac, running over helpless girls with tractors and playing war veteran, throwing axes and knives with robot-like proficiency. Hardly. The film is so inept that you almost come to see that the teens are so unintelligent to walk into this sicko's house that they deserve what they get. They do, kind of.
Yeah, they do.
Well, not exactly, but the film is terrible. Even as a low budget, or should it be known, no budget late 80s horror film, this one tanks. It is so bad. Don't rent this movie unless you are fond of cheap horror films with no plot and an overbearing air of familiarity. 2 out of 10. Disagree. Watch this movie.
5 stars. 5 stars for pure VHS insanity. Hollowgate isn't just a slasher. It's an experience.
It is. It is an experience.
You've got a killer who changes costumes like he's auditioning for a Halloween variety show. You've got attack dogs that deserve their own spinoff. And you've got a lawnmower kill that should be in the Smithsonian. This is the kind of movie you put on at midnight with friends, pizza, and bad beer, parentheses, the suds. And you end up quoting for weeks, long live tape era trash.
I completely agree with that review.
And then, of course, masterpiece. Absolute masterpiece. 10 out of 10. You can keep your Kubricks and your Spielberg. I'll take Ray DeZazzo's vision any day. Only a true auteur would say, what if Jason Voorhees also raided the costume department every 10 minutes and also bore a grudge for the Vietnam War? It's art. It's madness. It's Halloween distilled into a fever dream. 5 stars, 2 paws up for the dogs, and an honorary Oscar for the lawnmower.
That one gets a little sillier, but the first one, I completely agree with it.
Yep. And of course, I had to finish out on, this was a review on Twitter, Jay. Hollowgate 1988, parentheses, dogs act better than humans. Killer has more costume changes than Madonna. I lost 88 minutes. I'll never get back. 0 stars, infinite regret.
Boo. You didn't lose anything. You've gained the experience of watching Hollowgate.
Gained immeasurably by being exposed to this. We refer to Hollowgate as more of a virus than an experience. Now you've been infected.
All right. Well, Jeff, let's take Creepy Mark and put him on our trick or treat list. I was thinking, like, we've got some real powerhouses. We've got the Curse videotape.
Yep.
We've got Sam. We've got Pumpkinhead. We've got Michael. We've got the Irish.
Yes.
We've got
the Irish.
We've got Art the Clown. And we've got, I don't know, whatever the fuck his name. And it's already sloughed off the back of my brain. The fucking third Saturday October guy.
Oh, yeah.
I would put all of those ahead of Mark, probably.
The Pumpkinhead, Jay. The Pumpkinhead.
Yeah, Pumpkinhead. And so that leaves, I believe, the Harvest, the company from WNUF,
yeah,
and the cult in Out There Halloween Megatape. Is Mark above or below those groups?
Below.
All right.
I'm saying he's below.
Mark's the low. Mark is, I mean, the basement of our list currently.
He only manages to kill these kids because they're the dumbest people possible, and they do literally all the wrong things. If he was up against even a semi-competent opponent, they would have just left the estate grounds. Because, I mean, honestly, all you have to do is stay grounded, and an electric fence wouldn't even work on you. Just go back to your van, grab the seat covers, throw them over, and climb over the fence. But no, Jay, we can't do that.
Yeah, they had 5 minutes. They could have just done that.
Or rubber floor mats in any of the cars that were all unlocked and open to insulate you from the electricity. But, yeah, I mean, he's not really threatening in any way to, like, a regular person. He's not, like, super fast or super strong. I mean, he's not really, like, super creative with any of his kills.
No, I think if... the cult was pretty inept, I think.
Yeah.
But, like, certainly Harvest is a group of angry people. Yes. They would easily take him down. Yes. But even then, like, the cult would probably be able to take him down, too.
Yeah. No, honestly, I can't see any situation, really, where he prevails against any of these people. So, yeah, I think he's the bottom.
All right. Well, Jeff, it's time for a little thing we like to call...
Garbage Day!
Huh? No!
Jeff, we got an email.
Oh, no, not an email.
La Martina versus Zombie.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Jay and Jeff. As a fan of Rob Zombie, dating back to his days with White Zombie and his illustrious solo career, that strokes acting back up again.
Yeah.
I feel that I'm qualified to make the following statement. In no fucking universe is Rob Zombie even close to making movies as awesome as Chris LaMartina. I've seen all of Zombie's movies, and with the exception of The Devil's Rejects and Three from Hell, which were good but nowhere near great, WNUF blows both of them out of the water. Zombies movies are mired in the 70s, but he was also a teen in the early 80s, and even he would admit that WNUF is a great fucking movie and far better than anything he has or will ever make. So to those ignorant losers out there who dare badmouth the talent of Chris LaMartina and his stock company of actors and crew, I am rating them one star, but zero stars if I could. The 2025 Horror for the Holidays Halloween Spooktacular rules. Rock on, gentlemen. Your number one fan, Spencer.
I knew it was Spencer. I was like, no one would be that complimentary of us, Jay, except for Spencer, our real fan.
Also, we got shit to eat.
Oh, no. You tricked me again, Jay.
We got Stranger Things Collision, Stranger Pizza and Cool Ranch Doritos.
No.
We've got Stranger Things.
No.
Chips Ahoy cookies.
Come on, Jay. Not Stranger Things again. Sorry, Jay. I'm canceling my Netflix. I was told to.
I mean, I'm fine with it. We've got Jolly Rancher Gummies Trickies.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say Stranger Things again.
They are Jolly Rancher. The color and shape might be different than the flavor.
Oh. Okay, well, that's interesting, I guess.
We've got an old classic in Kit Kat Witch's Brew.
Nice. Yeah.
We've also got Kit Kat Counts, which are Count Dracula themed Kit Kats.
Nice. All right. Blue.
Both themed and shaped, I believe.
All right. I think I've got one of each.
All right. We've got Haribo Vampires.
Oh, my God. How many things are we trying?
Oh, don't worry. I've also got something to wash it all down with.
Oh, boy.
Oh, the three flavors are Kirsch, Apfel, and Zitrone. I don't know what any of those things mean. I don't speak Spanish.
Oh, I just threw your Kit Kats all over the floor, Jay. That'll teach you. All right. Well, let's see. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 items to try.
All right. So grab a red, a yellow, and a green.
Yellow.
And then to wash it all down. Oh, shit. And then to wash it all down, some Fanta Chucky's Punch.
Chucky's Punch.
You remember Chucky? Well, he's back in punch form.
He is? That sounds gross, Jay. Isn't he the soul of a murderer and a doll?
Yep.
Cracking the seal on that, baby.
Cool can. It's got Chucky on it. It's got Chucky's sweater as the design on the can.
It's made from Chucky's sweat.
It's made from Charles Lee Ray's sweat. But here, random aside, this is perfect time to bring it up. Brad Dourif is a great celebrated actor. He's fantastic in every way. Maybe, you know, I mean, like, not traditionally like Hollywood good looks. I would say Brad Dourif. Fiona Dourif, his daughter, is beautiful. Oh my God. Where did those genes come from? Because they certainly didn't come from Brad.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's the Steven Tyler principle. You know how Liv Tyler looks amazing and Steven Tyler looks like he's like half monkey. Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
It's whatever's going on with that. And both associated with Lord of the Rings, Jay. Can you believe this? Another Lord of the Rings connection.
I know you love your Lord of the Rings.
I mean, if there's a better, I don't know if there is a better Brad Dourif role than Grima Wormtongue.
Chucky.
Well, I mean, yes, but he's not actually Chucky.
That's a fair point.
He's just the voice of Chucky. I don't know. Maybe his character in Exorcist 3.
I was going to say, yeah, he's what, the Zodiac? It's not the
Trinity
Zodiac.
Killer, I think. Something like
that.
Or
no, is the Trinity Killer Dexter? It's something themed. The Gemini Killer? Is it the Gemini Killer?
Maybe. I don't know.
Also, I was surprised you didn't say a Star Trek thing. Isn't Brad Dourif also in multiple Star Trek things?
He is in Star Trek things, yes. As an example of creepy horror acting. Let's see. Exorcist 3. The only thing I remember from that movie is that there's a fish in the bathtub. Yeah, he's a Gemini killer.
Also, other thing to remember from the movie is the greatest jump scare of all time.
Yes. Also, how many stairs a Catholic priest can fall down before he dies, Jay? You can also learn that.
Keeps having a dream about a rose and falling down a flight of stairs.
All right, what are we trying first, Jay?
Let's do the Stranger Things cookies. Why not? They're chocolate cookies with red in the middle to, I guess, I don't know, signify the upside down or something.
Mm.
I call it Steve-ger things because I just care about what Steve's up to. He's the best character.
Mm. Tastes like red velvet cake.
Yeah, it's just like a chocolate cookie. It's, mm-hmm. I don't know, nothing special. Cool bag, though.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like many of these Halloween products, coolest thing is the packaging.
All right. Let's do some Stranger Things chips.
Smell good. They smell like they would have a lot of flavor, but they really don't taste like much. Definitely not pizza. They remind me of those taco-flavored Doritos they did a couple years back.
I was going to say, very Cool Ranch forward, mm-hmm. with like maybe a hint of like pizza on the back end.
A little.
But nothing, yeah, it's not, it's kind of disappointing. It does have retro Doritos packaging. Once again, you know, packaging's great. What do you think of that Chuck E. Punch?
I like it.
I think it's pretty tasty. I'm not a huge Fanta guy. This is, like, I might go buy another 12-pack of this.
As much as this may shock people like Matt Dupay, who've met me in person, I'm not actually a big sugary drink guy either, but this is pretty mild.
Yeah, like, this is not bad.
I like it.
All right.
Let's chew on some of these bats, Jay.
All right, so we got, once again, this one is Apfel.
Hmm.
Whatever that could mean. Oh, apparently the black is all lacrits.
Ah, lacrits. Uh-huh.
So I'm going to say this. It's black licorice and green apple.
Mm, mm.
I don't speak German, but I'm assuming Gest Mac Richrugen is German for German.
Yeah,
Jay. I don't know.
Yep, you're right, Jay.
Haribo Macht Kinderfroh.
Mm.
Und Erwaschne Ebenso.
Yeah, Jay. Yeah, I agree. I don't know what Jay just said, but I want everybody out there to know that I was only following Jay's orders.
To eat more Haribos.
Yeah. And they have no flavor. What is going on today? They got like, you know, we set this in the same room as a fruit.
The green one was really good. But yeah, the Zitron, which I'm assuming is like citrus.
Mm.
I didn't get any flavor.
Nothing. So weird. I mean, there's like the hint of a flavor, but not like any actual flavor once you start chewing on it. Not even the black licorice part in the middle, really.
So I just did a red one. And that one, I got black licorice flavor, but I didn't get any
cherry, I'm assuming.
Kirschi! I'm assuming cherry. All right, well, let's hope these Jolly Ranchers do a better job.
I mean, they almost have to.
All right, I got a pink cherry. So this could be anything. It tastes like green apple.
Yep. I was going to say, my pink cherry also tastes like green apple.
All right, I've got a red grape.
I'm going to do a purple strawberry.
These are a trip because it is kind of like, what am I eating currently? The red grape was strawberry.
The grape was, the purple strawberry is grape.
Okay. I'm doing a purple apple.
I'm doing a blue watermelon slice, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. The purple apple is blue raspberry.
The blue watermelon is lemon. As far as I can tell.
I've got a greenish, yellowish, I don't know, collection of balls.
Jay's balls. I've also got some yellow balls I'm going to try.
That one's cherry.
Yeah.
All right, and then I've got the blue watermelon.
I think you're going to get lemon. It's the same as mine. Not sure, though.
Mine was grape.
See, my strawberry was grape.
That's weird. Mine, that, but that, these are supposed to be different, right? Like,
Well, I mean, they accomplished what they said on the bag. All right, I'm going to try another cherry and see what it's like. That one was orange flavor.
Yeah, I just did two of the purple apples. I couldn't tell you what that was.
Weird.
Tasted very citrusy, whatever it was.
It's definitely spooky, Jay. Fits with the Halloween theme.
Yep. All right, ready to do a couple Kit Kats? Yep. Get out of here.
Let's do it. I'm going to try the count.
Kit Kat counts. They're little Count Dracula-shaped Kit Kats. They're adorable.
Blah, blah, blah.
I do not say blah, blah, blah.
It's a Kit Kat.
I'm going to say a Kit Kat. Keep making your Kit Kats in Count Dracula shape. This is a 10 out of 10.
You know why they're so good in Count Dracula shape? It's because they make them fresh. Kit Kats never move on the shelf, so you always get a stale one. But now these are fresh.
That's delicious. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I like it.
And it's Count Dracula shaped. All right, let's do some Witch's Brew.
But is it going to be witch shaped, Jay? That's the question.
Sadly, no.
Aww. I feel like I didn't even get it open. My God.
All right. So these are like an opaque green. I would say like a Frankenstein green is kind of what I would call this color.
Oh, like the Franken Reese's color?
Yeah. I believe they are supposed to be marshmallow flavored.
All right. Let's go.
Yep. Marshmallow flavored.
Yeah. I'm getting it. Kind of like a Rice Krispie almost. I like it. It's good.
I was sitting there like, where have I tasted this before? And then you said Rice Krispie, and I went, yeah, that's Rice Krispie.
Nah, both Kit Kats were a hit. I like it.
I'd say at the bottom, Stranger Things, Chips Ahoy.
I'm going to put the Haribo gummies at the bottom.
Okay.
Stranger Things cookies above that.
And then I would do probably the Stranger Things chips.
Yeah.
And then for me would be the Haribo gummies.
Okay.
I
think probably for me next would be the Jolly Ranchers.
I agree, Jolly Ranchers. And then it's tough between the Chucky's Punch Fanta, the Kit Kat Counts, and the Kit Kat Witch's Brew. I think Witch's Brew is probably top. Yeah,
I was gonna say I think Witch's Brew definitely takes the top spot. But I'll put the Fanta above the chocolate Kit Kat.
But like, man,
just barely.
Having it be Count Dracula shaped is inspired. I think that's great.
It is really good, and like we said, fresh Kit Kat is always good.
Yep. That's been a Horror for the Holidays week 2 of the Halloween Spooktacular.
Are you having fun yet?
No.
Do you see?
No.
Do you see?
Do you see? If you want to send us an email, tell us, I don't know, that we have terrible taste in movies and that Hollowgate's bad, actually, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the thumbs up button. Subscribe. Hit the bell. Leave us comments. If you want us to know that you actually listen to the show and are a real sicko, tell us 5 stars on all your reviews and then put 0 stars if I could as the opening line.
Also, we're proud to be part of the Christmas Podcast Network. I know, here we are talking about Halloween, and it's a Christmas network.
Well, you know, I think we have a totally rad Christmas appearance coming up, Jay, that'll be good for Spooktacular.
Sometime here in October, your beloved Horror for the Holidays hosts will be making an appearance on a much better podcast.
Much better.
Talking about a movie of much better quality than Hollowgate.
Okay, Jay.
Mystical boinging ensues.
Still trying to open this Witch's Brew Kit Kat, Jay.
And I guess...
Send us emails with your ideas for Happy Halloween and your racial slur of choice so Jay can sort through them.
Yeah, send us Happy Halloween and your favorite racial slur. No, don't do that.
Do it. Do it now.
Lastly, next week we'll be returning to
ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Jay,
here lies Pumpkinhead's something, something, something.
Stay away from Pumpkinhead. unless you're tired of seeing sequels.
And we're going to be doing Pumpkinhead 3, Ashes to Ashes, City of Angels.
Yeah, no. Yes, Pumpkinhead 3, City of Angels.
Pumpkinhead 3, Ashes to Ashes.
Ashes to Ashes. You can watch it on Tubi if you want to watch it before we review it.
Yep. Lance Henriksen makes his triumphant return.
Yes.
And this one will have maybe Haggis in it again. And yes, will have, it won't just be a strange detour that has nothing to do.
Yes, it won't be a completely different script that had Pumpkinhead inserted at the last minute. It, I promise.
It'll be its own. It'll be part of the actual Pumpkinhead lore.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'm excited. Although I did see Made for TV. So if Linnea shows up, she won't be topless this time.
No.
Anyways, we'll see it. Well, yeah, we'll see you next week. Pumpkinhead, Ashes to Ashes. Happy Halloween. Bye.
Goodbye.
In the crib, late at night. Monster Gruber, what a fright. The goblin says, oh so grand, with vampires leading the band. Dracula waltz with Gruber to blow. It was a happening monster show. They did the monster mash. It was a graveyard smash. Got on in a flash.